Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, "Hear another parable. It was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, put a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went on a journey. When vintage time drew near, he sent the servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenant seized the servant and one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. Again, he sent other servants, more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, thinking, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They answered him, "He will put them, wretched men, to a wretched death, and lease his vineyard to other tenants, who will give him the produce at a proper time." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes.' Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruits." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When I was a teenager, I lived in a two-floor apartment that is on the second floor of a two-family home in Brooklyn. And my landlord, our landlord, was an Italian immigrant who used to make wine in the basement. And I remember the crates of grapes coming in, and when he would press the grapes, the aroma from the grape juice would go all the way up to our apartment. Over a few weeks, as the grapes fermented, the smell got stronger and stronger, and I could swear that I could get drunk just walking up the stairs. Come to think of it, that might explain my grades in high school. Well, it must be time again for grape prophecy, because for the last 3 weeks we've heard about vineyards. 2 weeks ago, we heard the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. Last week, we heard the parable of the two sons who were asked by the father to work in the vineyard. And of course, just right now, I read the gospel of the wicked tenants in the vineyard. Jesus' parable in today's gospel is closely related to the first reading from Isaiah. In Isaiah, the vineyard is cared for, but does not produce fruit, so it's destroyed. In the gospel, however, it's not the vineyard that's bad, it's the tenants. They kill the servants and even the son of the owner. They will be destroyed so that someone else will care for the vineyard properly. The vineyard, in the parable, is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God are the people of God who should be cared for properly by religious leaders. But the vineyard in the parable is controlled by wicked tenants who are concerned only with themselves. They use the vineyard for themselves instead of caring for it. They're willing even to eat, steal, and kill for their own gain. Now remember, Jesus is saying this parable to the chief priests and the elders who were the Pharisees. You can bet that when they heard this, they knew that Jesus was attacking them. Jesus attacked them because they had become corrupt, like the wicked tenants of the vineyard in the parable. They were concerned, they weren't concerned with caring for the people. They were concerned only for themselves. The chief priests and the Pharisees actually had become an elite class that wanted nothing to do with the people. They were out of touch. probably the Sadducees. They were the only ones who could perform the ritual sacrifices in the temple of Jerusalem. Anyone that came to worship had to go through them. And they hooked the people by charging them exorbitant rates to worship in the temple. They thought themselves so special that they actually lived in their own section on a hill in Jerusalem, adjacent to the temple. They had their own walkway to go back and forth to the temple so they wouldn't have to mingle with the common. The Pharisees were no better. They were scholars and community leaders who had very significant influence over the political and the religious standards of that time. And like the Sadducees, they really looked down on the people. The people could never be holy enough for the Pharisees, but they wanted everybody to know how holy they were. They were hypocrites. They put down harsh religious rules for the people that were really more about show than worship. That's why Jesus called them whited sepulchres, that is, shiny white tombs, beautiful on the outside and all rotten on the inside. And you can imagine, hearing Jesus speak like this certainly angered them, certainly angered the chief priests and the Pharisees, but what made them really crazy was the fact that the people were flocking to Jesus. They flocked to Jesus not only because he fed them and healed them, but because he spoke the truth. He spoke in a way that they had never heard a religious leader speak before. Jesus spoke the truth to power. And that, just like today, the religious leaders could not tolerate. And Jesus knew this. He knew what they were thinking. That's why in the parable he said that the Father sent the prophets that you killed, and you will even kill the Son. Now, we know how that went. So obviously, this parable applies to the religious leaders of that time, but what does it mean for us today? Well, unfortunately, we too have had our share of corrupt religious leaders. Those who like the ones in the parable were only out for themselves and long ago abandoned the faith of Christ. But the good news is that the vast majority of our church leaders are sincerely trying to live up to their vows and to tend to the needs of the vineyard, the people of the kingdom of God. But we also have to understand and realize that this parable also applies to us, not only the religious leaders, because we are also called to be workers in the vineyard. By virtue of our baptism, we've been brought into the vineyard to produce fruit in the world. We've been called to do the work of the Father in the kingdom. It's a great honor, but it's also a great responsibility. We're responsible to carry out the work of God in the kingdom. We're responsible to feed the world the fruit of our faith, the fruit of the love of God. Now, promoting the faith evangelization is our job in the vineyard. And you know, often when we hear the word evangelization, we think of going to some foreign country or knocking on doors or standing on a corner professing the faith. Look, I'm a deacon. I don't do any of those. And God bless those who do, but it's not me. But what I do is I try to evangelize by example, by living as a Christian. I'm a social worker, I'm a deacon, and I'm a Christian man, and I've tried in my own small way to continue the Lord's mission of reaching out to those in need. And you know what? That's what all Christian men and women should do. Reach out to those in need. We reach out to those in need, not only because we're humanitarians, and certainly we should be that, but primarily because we're Christians. We take seriously Jesus' promise, whatever you do for the least of my brothers, you have done for me. Now, this is different to each and every one of us here. Each of us has our unique role to play in the ministry. You know, people say to me, yeah, but I'm not a priest, I'm not a nun. I don't have a lot of money, I don't have a lot of power or influence. What can I do? I think the German 11th century mystic, Meister Eckhart, said it best. He said, it's not what you do, but who you are. It's not what you do, but who you are. You know, we often get so caught up in the doing that we forget about the being. We forget that rooting ourselves in God first is important so that then we can go out and do. When we become who we are to be, who we're supposed to be in the eyes of God, we'll do what we are created by Him to do in the vineyard. Even if that means just picking one grape. You'd be surprised how the simplest act of kindness can plant a seed. Or the simplest example can plant a seed for the rest of that person's life. And you'll never know it. It's really not that hard. It's not what you do, but who you are.